Let me grab my Bible real quick here. So, how was everyone's Thanksgiving? Good?
Yeah.
Had a good meal? We have so much to be thankful for. You know, it's been a very interesting year and a lot of ups and downs. You know, a lot of our friends and loved ones have been going through a lot here in our church and also in our own families. Within our own families, we have losses, we have some victories too, amen. And so, you know, as we're thinking of the time and giving thanks, no matter what happens, we can never give thanks to the Lord enough, all right? For he is an amazing God. He is truly an amazing God. I'm so grateful, not only for my family and friends, but I'm also grateful for my churches, my church family, and how they've been giving me faith and helping me to increase in faith through your victories, through your times of difficulties, and being able to see how God works and prayer still, he's still answering our prayers. And so that is why today I titled this particular sermon, Abide in Christ and the Key to a Fruitful Living. You know, as I was, as we were having Thanksgiving, I noticed that there were no fruits in our table. We had a lot of other things except for fruits. And so it made me look up this text and really think about, you know, our fruits in our spiritual walk. And so I like to start off with John 15, 4 and 5. We're going to read that. And I will need later on the projector. I wanted to show you guys something. Let's see if I find it here. Ain't that a beautiful picture there? I still can't get enough of it. I haven't changed it. Okay, we'll just leave it like that. First John, John 14, 4 and 5. Let's go ahead and read that together. John 14. You may have read this before, but we're going to kind of go into it and dive into it a little bit more. John 14, 4 and 5. I'm reading from the NIV version. Some of you may have the King James version, but it's pretty similar in both. It says, remain in me. This is Jesus speaking. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Right? It doesn't say remain in only the Pharisees or those that deserve it or anything like that. It says, I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the, what does it say there, my friends? In the vine. In the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Amen. Now, this really speaks to itself. This really speaks on its own, and we can just finish here today. But I'd like to break it down for you, okay? Just because as I was looking at my life and I was analyzing this particular time and season and all that, you know, we think of course, of Thanksgiving and how we can always thank God for a lot of things. Amen for that. And we think of also of Christmas as we, you know, have the holidays coming up. And for as Christians, we look towards to, you know, remembering the day in which God gave us his only begotten son, right? Came here as a baby through Mary. And so one of the things that I wanted us to start thinking, especially for our new year kind of like theme, is that God has given us a lot of promises. You know, he has given us a lot of promises in his word. And we tend to, a lot of times when we go through difficulties, we're so quick to forget of those promises for some reason. We're basically humans of habit, right? Like a lot of the things that we do out of habit. And for some reason, we always go back to our bad habits. you know, for whatever reason, whenever something comes up in our lives that is threatening us with our livelihood or with whatever it is. And so I want us to think about this as we move forward, because this year it is kind of like the theme I wanted to share with y'all, returning back to the promises, or to the promise, 2024. As we look into a future in which seems very dim for a lot of people, whether it's because of the economy, the wars, all these things that are happening, at the end of the day, what are you and I going to do about it? Are we just going to stand there and just watch everything just go and flow as it is? Or do we start preparing ourselves? Or do we truly, truly start preparing ourselves for what's to come? Are we preparing our hearts and our mind for what's to come? Okay. And so when I think of this particular verse, remain in me and as I also remain in you, I want us to think the following. First, we need to understand that the vine and the branches, this is all a metaphor, right? And that here Jesus is actually, in this particular metaphor, Jesus identifies himself as the true vine. You know, there are a lot of ways, you know, how I always preach on that Jesus is the, well, he said himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And so in this world, there's a lot of things that the world teaches, right? The universities teach a lot of ways, a lot of truths out there, right? And if you go to Google, if you go to YouTube, and if you go to TikTok, and all these other avenues of social media that our kids are constantly bombarded with, especially Instagram and all that, there's a lot of good things out there, but oh my goodness, are there a lot of bad things too? One of the things I was looking at the other night was that how bad artificial intelligence, this whole thing of AI, and how a picture nowadays, they have to go through so many fact-checking, okay, fact-checking and trying to just to see if a picture is valid, okay? And it's incredible because all the, you know, when you look at the picture, it looked like it's true. I remember somebody along a while back sent me a picture of a lion, or of an elephant carrying a baby lion or a baby, a cub. And the lioness or the tiger, whatever she was standing next to the elephant and the elephant had the baby lion on his trunk. It looked good for a moment. The picture was like, if the animal kingdom can do it, so can we, type of thing. And I'm like, there's something wrong with this picture. All the things I seen in Natural Geographic when I was a little kid, I never seen no elephant gently carrying a lion, you know, a baby cub on his. And so as I go in and try to fact check it, of course, it was photoshopped. And so you're like, I knew it, you know. But how many out there, is not like that. And so we're living in a world where information is instantly, but at the same time, the devil knows what he's doing. He's ready to deceive any and every single one of us, even the very elite, my friends. And so we have to be prepared. And so this is why Jesus says that he identifies himself as the true vine. As the true vine, there are many religions out there. There are many other things that apparently look true, look good. But when it comes down to it, Jesus is the only one that says, I am the truth and the only way. And so he says himself, he sets himself up as the true vine, which is the source of life and nourishment for what? For the branches. Amen. And so as believers, we are the branches. We as believers are depicted as branches connected to that vine. Okay? Amen? I'm hoping all you guys are connected to the vine. I'm hoping you guys are connected to the vine. I got 10 minutes to explain this, so please respond with me. Come with me. Let's go. All right. And so as we're connected here, our role is to remain in whom? In Jesus, in Christ Jesus, who we draw the sustenance, the strength, and the purpose from him. My friends, a lot of young people, and even older individuals, doesn't matter, it doesn't discriminate, whether it's anxiety, depression, whatever you want to call it, insomnia, whatever it is constantly attacking us, because we forget our purpose. And let me tell you something. It's not a sin to being depressed. It's not a sin to have anxiety. It's not a sin to have these mental health issues. That's not the sin. The problem is when we allow those things to overtake the facts, the truth, and we dwell on those things, and we forget on who we're connected to. You know, when I was pastoring my first district, I was experiencing some second guessing as to my call. See, we meet up every month. We meet up as pastors, and we talk about all our congregation. I'm just playing, but we talk about all the things that are happening internally. You know, what we're going through and all that. Now, me being the new guy, I didn't want to like really tell these guys everything that I was feeling. But one of the things I was feeling, I'm not going to lie to you, was a little jealousy. Because all my pastor friends were having all these great evangelistic series. And I had just finished one. And I kid you not, if two people showed up to it, it was a lot. My wife and Ed. Ed was a 92-year-old gentleman that would travel 1 hour to come to see this pastor preach. Broke my heart. But Ed gave me the strength to get through that week. And so I was giving praise to God about Ed and all this other stuff. But then my pastor friends were like, well, yeah, we baptized 5. We baptized 10. We baptized 20. How many do you baptize, Omar? 0. I barely had anybody coming. And it was so frustrating. First year, second year, nothing. Not one baptism. And after a while, you don't even say anything anymore. In the meetings, I didn't even want to talk. Because I said, Lord, what is going on here? And this is why I really believe in this. When it says here, when he says to the believers, he says that we're the branches, our role is to remain in Christ. That is an imperative. I don't know if you guys know what an imperative is. I had to look it up. I always look it up 100 times. I know what it means. You know, this is almost like a command. You have to take it in for what it is. This is telling you that this is very important. If not, it's absolute almost to this remain in me, this concept of constantly remaining in Christ. And if I didn't remain in Christ and I start just comparing myself to these other pastors, my friends, the world would eat me up alive. I would have quit at that moment. But it was only because I knew that God had called me that I had to remain in Him. That I had to continue doing the work no matter what, no matter what anyone compared me to or said I was or wasn't, no matter anything that anyone else said, I had to remain focused and say, Lord, I have to remain in You. I have to trust in You. I have to believe in You. You are my strength. You are my substance. You are the reason why I'm here, because if it wasn't, I would be doing something else. Abiding in Christ, remain in Me, is a crucial instruction for our times. It means maintaining a continuous, intimate relationship with Jesus. No matter what comes at you. I am the type of person, affirmation means a lot to me. I do. It's my love language. You give me a bunch of things, but if you just say, Omar, I love you, oh man, it means the world to me. It just really does. It just, words mean so much to me. And so when I read into these words, and Jesus is really telling me, remain in Him, that this is crucial, that this is everything, it gives me the opportunity to know. And it should give us the opportunity to know that this means that this continuous relationship that we want to build with Christ, this intimate relationship that we want to build with Him, is so important, so vital for my existence, for our existence. that I have to take it into consideration that abiding in Christ is about a daily, a what? A daily fellowship and prayer, reading his word and living in his presence. I cannot live in somebody else's shoes, whether that pastor baptized 200 or 20 or 50 or 60, whatever it was. I can't do that. I can't live in somebody in the Pastor Bohr's, you know, TV, YouTube, whatever I watch. I have to read for myself. I have to have my own devotion. Those things are good, don't get me wrong. But if I don't seek myself, then I'm just believing in a man that's telling me whatever he wants on YouTube or on TV or whatever it is. And so I have to make sure that I am connected to divine. Not that somebody is going to connect me to divine. If I had, it's funny because I meant to bring it, but if I had a vine with me, right? And I tell you, hey guys, how can we make this vine grow? How can we make it give its fruits, right? Well, no matter how much I might think about it, you know, and kind of zen into it or something like that, or really believe that a fruit is going to grow, no matter what I do, the fruit is not going to grow. Now, I could tape a fruit to it, right? I could tape a fruit to it. I could duct tape something or nail it or whatever. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen to the fruit? It's going to die. It's going to give away. It's not true fruit, right? But when it's connected to the source, my friends, notice what Jesus says here, because he also flips it around. He says, as I also remain in you. He flips it around, because now it's not just that I'm just connected to him, but he's also in me, meaning that now I have the opportunity to produce. Now I have the opportunity to make this relationship. It now it's not just a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And so it's a two-way relationship. It is actually a communion with Christ. And so our growth and fruitfulness depends on Christ's presence and his work in our lives. Remember how I said that? Plenty of times I've told you that there's so many promises in the Bible. Almost 300, if not more, but 365, enough to go around for the whole year. And so this particular promise that he will also remain in us teaches us that in our growth and our fruitfulness, it depends all on Christ's presence and his work in our lives. Not my work, but his work. Remember, if I'm not connected to divine and I do work, is there anything good about the work that I do? Mm-mm, not at all. I have to be connected to divine. I have to be connected to divine, my friends. And so the promise of fruitfulness is being able to bear fruit. And so Jesus emphasizes that apart from him, we can do what? Nothing. This underscores our utter dependence on him. When we abide in Christ, we then are empowered to bear the spiritual fruit. What is the spiritual fruit, my friends? Is it, you know, the success? Is it based on success and how many members I baptize? Is it based on how much our church will grow in numbers and see that, wow, the whole community is in our church? And is it based on the tithes as they increase and our church is looking better than ever? Is that the fruit that we're talking about? I'm sorry to tell you, my friends, I didn't understand that at first. I thought that was the fruit. Man, and I would cry to the Lord. I said, Lord, why? Why is my church not growing? What is it? Something wrong with me? Yes, it was something wrong with me. It was. See, I needed to know and I need to recognize that I needed to abide in Christ and really trust the process. Really trust in his words and in his promises. It was only at that point that I said I had to stop focusing on the numbers and start focusing on my spiritual walk with Christ. It was only then that then the right fruit started happening. My brothers and sisters, I don't know if I've told you this before. I think I've told you one time probably, but for those that don't know, so this was one of my wonderful districts. My first district, you know, is your first love. You know, you have the moment where they call what's called the honeymoon stage. You know, all the brothers and sisters, they love you at first, right? And, you know, they celebrate every little thing with you, and they want you to all the birthday parties, and they want you to bless their home, and they invite you to their home, and they give you the best meal. And I was loving it because it lasted. Actually, I don't know when it started. The first day at work, I'm just putting in my stuff in my house, you know, arrived in the truck, and, you know, it was a windy, rainy day, and it was really cold, I remember, and we're just trying to put everything in the truck because it was raining. And I thank God that my in-laws were with me, because unfortunately no one from the church came except for the person that was opening the door to the house, because the church was right next to the house, the parsonage. I was okay with that. You know, I just needed to get everything in. But then the lady comes and tells me, she says, "Pastor Omar, after I put everything in, we're just tired, ready to go to sleep, you know, it was late. She says, Pastor Omar, can I tell you something?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. What is it? What's going on? Come outside. So not only did she want to tell me something, but she wanted to go outside where it was cold and raining and to tell me this. Okay? And she says, "Pastor Omar, I just want to let you know. You know, the majority of us in the church, we didn't vote for you. We don't even know why you're here. We don't know why we don't have a pastor of our own, and the Spanish church has their own pastor, their own Spanish pastor." And I said, "Lord, give me some wise words to say." And I said, "Ma'am, I thank God that you didn't vote for me. I thank God for the one that voted for me was him. And that is why I'm here." And I patted her in the back. I gave her a little side hug there, because the full one, I didn't know her that well yet. So I gave her a little side hug. And let me tell you something. From that moment on, I don't know if it was like God told me I needed to work with her and she needed to work with me. But we had our differences. Every board meeting, she would say one thing in front of me, and then she'll go to the board meeting and do the complete opposite. Every board meeting. And it was just so hard to work and so hard to press. But I was trying to treat her nice, you know? And so as I was experiencing this abiding in Christ thing, because I really needed a lot of it, okay, I realized when the Lord will call me and say, "Omar, you need to help this lady out." And I remember one time she had no work. Her roof had caved in, and she was living in some trailer with half roof, and she was taking showers outside in the winter and everything, and she had no food. And I remember it was Wednesday, and one of her brothers were going to give her a ride home. And I said, the Holy Spirit said, "You need to go to the ATM. I was like, "No, I don't." "You need to go to the ATM. I said, "Lord, I know what you want me to do." I had that fight that Jonah had, you know. "You need to go to the ATM and give her everything you got." "Lord, I will not do that. She hates me, Lord. It doesn't matter." And so it started off with that. And I'm not saying it to boast myself. What I'm telling you is that I had a struggle, my friends. It's easy when people love you. It's easy to do things for people that love you. But when people do not love you, and you know it, when they do it blatantly in your face, that's a totally different ballgame. And I said, "Lord, I can't do that. You could do that. Go give it to my." And so I pulled out everything that I had, and I was looking at it, and I was just like, and she was at the window. I remember, because I told the brother to follow me, and I remember, and I rolled down the window. And not only did I have to give it to her, but I had to give it to her with a smile, okay? Because the Lord was saying, "You need to give it to her like you mean it." "Here you go, sister. This is for you." "For me?" Yes, for you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. The other time, she needed her real estate license. She had no money for her real estate license. It was about $300. And the brothers and sisters were saying, "Oh, Mom, we need to help her. We need to help her." I was like, "No, we don't. But okay, let's bring it to a board." And so, sure enough, I brought it to the board and voted, and we helped her with her license. And she got licensed. She was able to work and feed herself. And so things like this started happening. And the reason I bring this is because when it says here that the fruit of the Spirit, my friends, as you abide in Christ, it says we are empowered by bearing fruit of the Spirit. When it talks about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, which I really was trying to have, my friends, the Lord was working in me. And I didn't know. I didn't know this, how he was working in me. It came to the point, and I'm wrapping this up, but it came to the point that her and I started having the same vision that the Lord was going to bring more people to our church, that we needed to do evangelistic series, and we needed to do something pronto, that we needed to take advantage of what was going on with this whole COVID thing. And so because of COVID, the church was able to have what's called small groups. You guys know what I'm talking about. And through these small groups, because of COVID, you know, I started doing my thing. Everybody was doing small groups in their homes. A lot of them didn't tell me because I told them, "Hey, let me know so I can go visit." But whatever, I didn't care. I knew they were having these small groups. When we opened the church up again, there was new faces in our church. During COVID, I remember baptizing my first baptism there at the church, and it was this young family that came knocking on the door. They have been listening to Amazing Facts the whole summer, and now they've been looking for a church, and they came to knock on the doors of our church, and I was able to baptize this whole family. And I was just like, this is weird that this is happening. And then from there, we did the evangelistic series. Do you know how many people showed up to the evangelistic series when the pastor gave it? Can you guys want to take a guess? Nobody. Nobody showed up. Okay. But that's okay. Pastor kept doing it. And then that was only the first couple of days. And then a couple people started showing up. This lady started showing up. This member. She started showing up too. And she's like, "Omar, can I help you?" And I wanted to say a big fat no. You know, because the Spirit was still working in me. You know, those fruits were still were working in me. But in my mind, in my heart, Jesus said, "Tell her yes." I said, "Not only do I want you to help me, I want you to run the whole thing. I'm just going to come and pray." And she said, "Okay." And I was like, "Good." So when we started running those that particular series, which was with Doug Batchelor, I was like, "Ain't nobody gonna come listen to Doug. Doug is just explaining. This is the way I viewed sometimes our pastor Doug. Sometimes he's just, and I was like, he's not the same as this other one that I had. And I said, "Well, Lord, she's doing it, so I'm gonna let her run it." My friends, when we finished the meeting, and that's the picture I wanted to show you guys, when we finished the meeting, we only had two people that were going to get baptized. Amen? Two people. This district had not seen a baptism in over 10 years. 10 years. Okay? And so, I'm going to see if I can find a picture here. But it was funny because as we were going along and as we were... As we were going along in the meetings, I kept seeing the church getting fuller and fuller. Like, all the brothers and sisters were coming. Not only all the brothers and sisters were coming, but also guests were coming. And I couldn't believe this. I was like, "Where are these people coming from?" The small groups. And we had at first two baptisms set up. And then from there, let me see if I can find it here. And then from there, let me see if I can pull it up here. I had this picture. I don't know why it didn't download. But then from there, we had Pastor. They called me during the week. Pastor, we have two more people. So we went to four. Let's see if I find it here. Pastor. And from four, we went to five. From five, we went to six. And it just kept going. Every single night, I was getting a call before Sabbath. And I was getting call after call. And we had a total of 15 people by Friday that wanted to get baptized. Amen, right?
Amen.
Now, I couldn't believe that because none of my friends in my churches had that many. I'm trying to find here. None of my friends in my churches had that many. They've had a couple here and there, but they never had as many as that. And I said, wow, Lord, this is amazing. It was so amazing that I decided to call my boss and say, boss, this is crazy. I have 15 people that are going to get baptized. I just want to let you know. And he's like, oh, that's great. That's amazing. You know, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. He's like, oh, I can't be there because I have to be somewhere else. And I said to him, oh, that's fine. I just wanted to let you know that this is what's happening here in Longview. And I don't know what to tell you. And, yeah, I can't find the picture at the moment. But that same moment that we were baptizing, or we're about to baptize all those individuals, two more showed up. So for the year, I ended up with over 26 baptisms in 1 year. And the majority of them were not children. They were adults. And I said, Lord, you have a funny way of doing things. It was nothing that I did. Nothing. Not what I preached, not what I showed. Let me tell you something. I was really trying to revamp and do so much. I had people coming singing from different places. I had all these things, and none of that worked. You know what worked? The Holy Spirit worked. The fact that I gave myself to the Lord and I surrendered worked. The fact that I abided in Him during that time and I trusted in Him. See, Christ doesn't desire minimal fruit. Okay? He doesn't desire minimal fruit, but much fruit. This abundance of fruit is a testament to our deep connection with Him. Amen? It's nothing that I do. This fruit includes both the transformation of character and the impact that we have in the community and the world around us. The consequences of not abiding in that fruit, my friends, had I not chosen to surrender myself, my friends, I probably would have still been there or probably quit. To be honest, I would probably quit. I would like, okay, ministry is not for me. Because I didn't get it. I wouldn't have gotten it. At the end of the day, I missed the vine, I guess you can say. And so if we disconnect ourselves from Christ, we lose our source of strength and purpose in life. Self-resilience and self-sufficiency ultimately will lead to what we call the spiritual barrenness. And so the warning is against the spiritual drift. We cannot drift away from Christ when we neglect our prayer life, our Bible study, our fellowship with other believers. It is what is essential to guard us against the complacencies and distractions that are that connect us to the vine, to Jesus. So in conclusion, I want to let you know this. John didn't just write this because he actually connected it to something that's very important and I think is vital to us today in this message. And it's found in 1 John 2:28. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. And I say this to you as I say it to myself. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him." In whom? In him, in Jesus Christ. So that when he appears, we may have what? Confidence. So that we have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Amen. As we reflect on these verses, let us remember that abiding in Christ is not a one-time event, but a lifelong commitment. Because even in heaven, we're going to be abiding in Christ. Amen? Even in heaven, we're still going to have to bear some fruit. Amen? And so our spiritual growth and fruitfulness are intrinsically tied to our connection with him. When we remain in Christ, we find strength, purpose, and the ability to make a lasting impact in the lives of those around us and in this world. So today, I ask you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, let us commit ourselves to abide in Christ daily. Let us seek his presence, meditate in his word, and live in such a way that his life flows through us, producing not just a little bit of fruit, my brothers and sisters, but producing a lot of fruit, abundant fruit, a fruit that is transforming, a fruit that represents his glory, a fruit that is fulfilling the calling that he set us as his disciples to do. Let the world be a witness to the transforming power of Jesus Christ in us. May the Lord allow us to see and empower us, each and one of us, to abide in him and bear much fruit in our journey of faith. Amen? Let us pray. God, we come to you boldly again, knowing that we're not worthy to be attached to the vine, but we thank you for the sacrifice that Christ Jesus did on the cross for us and for resurrecting and defeating death and defeating sin and doing away, Father. If we just hang on to that vine, if we just hang on a little bit longer, we know there are other vines out there that need to be connected as well. Father, it is our duty to allow the vine to give us branches, fruit, to give us the source of life, to give us the reason, the purpose of why we exist. Father, we want to be able to do this, but we cannot do it alone. We definitely need to also, Father, surrender our will to yours. You're a gentleman, and we thank you for being that. We thank you for allowing us to be able to make our decision. May our decision today be with you, to abide with you, to abide in Christ, so that he can abide also in us and bear the fruit that the world needs. Not for our glory, but for yours. May not be just the numbers or the success, but it may be the quality, the time that we spend with you, that we look and we seek for your face. Father, we've all sinned and fall short of your glory, but you call us to go and sin no more. And by your grace, we are protected. By your grace, Father, that is sufficient enough for this world, even in its condition, we pray, Father, that people can see how much you still love them through us. We love you, Father, and if there's anyone here that is in need of a Savior, may they seek you and know that Jesus is the best and that all we need to do is surrender to him. We love you, Father, and we thank you for today. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen.